Lord, bless what we say and bless what we hear. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you be an agent here between the word spoken and the hearts to receive it. And just let your anointing flow right now, Lord. And let to him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And we know, Lord, you're talking about spiritual ears and that. And so we just release your power and your love and truth that sets people free right now. And Lord, that destinies are being formed even as we sit here, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so anyway, when you go to receive a financial miracle, it's like you go to the rest of the Lord, which you put your faith on the line. If you have a physical healing need, and the doctors have said, we can't help you anymore, and you go to God, and you put your faith on the line, and there's nothing he wants you to do except to believe him, because without faith it's impossible to please God. And so you put your faith on the line, and there's no effort in faith. God says, you must enter into my rest. And if you can't enter into my rest, then he can't help you. And there's a rest of faith. And it's like, I heard a great man of God say once, you're struggling with an addiction? Well, that's because you have not yet believed that Christ can set you free. It's Lord, help. One man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, Lord. And you know what? Believing sometimes is, it can't be done with the head. Does anyone understand that? You cannot believe with your head. Believing is of the heart. And they say the farthest distance for a revelation to travel is 1 foot. Yeah, right from here to here. And on that tall guy farther, the one that works.
That's a good story, huh?
But, and it's like, there's, I see, I know what you're saying, and then there's, oh, I see. Oh, I see, I get it. He set me free. I really believe he set me free. Next time there's something in front of you that you shouldn't be touching, it's like, I believe I'm free. You know, and it's really all about a faith issue. And so what I want to talk to you about tonight, and this came up, I have a discussion I was having with someone in here, and he's not even in here tonight. I said, I'll provide all the scriptures for that Friday night. he says, great, I'll be there. God needs... I'm going to give you anything I say. We're going to look at the Bible verses. This is, like I said, this will choke a religious mind and a Pharisee. God needs in the earth. He brought Jesus into the earth, but the church has a mindset, let's just wrap it all up and get to heaven. Let's just get out of here. And you know, there's like 1 billion believers. There's 7 billion people on the earth. There's now coming to about 1 billion Muslims. That's our harvest crop too, you know, Muslims. And all the other false religions. And God wants in the earth. He wants access here on the earth. And it seems like a lot of people just want to go to heaven. So I heard a great man say that once. He says, God wants in here and all of you want out of here. It's like he's going to have his way, and until he has his way, you're all staying here, you know. And it's like, but that's what God wants to do. And remember, I talked about the kingdom the last several weeks, and they're all on the record, they're all on the audio record in my computer. And I said the kingdom is going to keep growing until it manifests throughout this whole earth. And it says, God says, as I live, I swear the glory of the Lord will fill the whole earth. That's what God said. And then in Daniel, this king had a dream, and Daniel the prophet interpreted, and he said there was this stone, and it was carved out of a mountain, and this stone kept growing, and it grew into a great rock, and this rock filled the whole earth. And he was talking about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. and how Jesus would be known as the Rock. And he says, Peter, I'm going to call you, I'm going to change your name from Simon to Peter. From here forth, you will be called the Rock. And he says, and I will, on this foundation, I'll build my whole church. He wasn't talking about Peter, because the Catholics said, well, we'll just make him the first pope, you know, because the church would be built on him. Well, there's man's religion coming into thinking, because Jesus wasn't saying Peter was any great thing, although he really loved Peter. He was saying, Peter, on the understanding you just showed me of a divine revelation in your heart that flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but God the Father revealed it to you, on that kind of revelational thinking, and a revelation is exploding in hearts, on that I will build my church. And it will be for every generation to get their own revelation from me. Pass from father to son, and prophet to an apostle to pastor and teacher and so forth and down the line. And so this rock that Daniel talked about would fill the whole earth. And that's why they said the kingdom of David would have no end. And it would keep growing. And on the government would be on his shoulder, and on the increase of his government there will be no end. And that's this growing rock of the kingdom. Well, you know, the kingdom is twofold. First of all, whenever someone receives Christ, Satan has a mini heart attack, okay, because he just lost somebody. But can he really teach his kids to be rebellious and not have them give the final rebellion to him and go, I'm going to the other kingdom, goodbye. And they rebel against Satan, and that's the new birth. And so the kingdom of God just grew by one person. And it says all heaven celebrates and rejoices. All the angels of heaven celebrate and rejoice. But then there's this other part of kingdom growth, and that's you keep getting more kingdom revelation in your heart. And what I said in some past weeks in here was Jesus didn't come preaching salvation. There was no salvation message yet when Jesus was on the earth. He came preaching the kingdom. He kept saying, I can show you all through the New Testament where he said, the kingdom is at hand. Well, what does that mean, Jesus? Well, come here. You got leprosy? I'm going to show you the kingdom. And he would heal them. And that was the kingdom. The kingdom was this advancing power and will of God. Because thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's no disease, no bondage, no addiction, no alcoholism, no drug abuse, no wife beating, no excessive gambling. I mean, there's no sexual perversion. None of that's in heaven. This great man of God is in a foreign country, and this crippled guy, he has a healing ministry, and he set up a perimeter on the ground the country gave him. The nation gave him some ground. It's a Muslim country. They said, you can occupy that, and, you know, we'll keep people away from your ministry. They would travel out every night to a stadium to preach. But they said, let's pray over our ground. And one day on the way to the stadium, a crippled guy walked across the corner of their ground. And picture this table like a big square lot. And he cut across it. And while he was on their ground, right about here, something zapped him and he was healed and he's made whole. So then this guy starts going on the radio from his ground, from his truck or whatever he had, and he had this communication device. He starts, and this guy in a bar in the same city turned on the radio. And this guy's voice is inviting people to his crusade. It's coming over the airways to the bar. These people are getting touched in the bar because the kingdom was invading. See, Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom was invading through this man's ministry. And that's what I'm saying we do here, right now, is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Boy, we're three short of a Last Supper. does that make me Jesus? hey, he lives in me, and I brought him in here with me. And when each of you brought Jesus in here too, And I want to get to what I want to tell you about. God needed to send Jesus in the earth to create legal access for himself, because God is locked out. God the Father, spirit beings. And this is what happened. He gave the earth to Adam and Eve. In fact, hold your finger at Mark 12 and don't let it get away. And let's go to Psalm 115. I'm going to show you some things that you're going to go, I didn't know this is in the Bible. And then what you're telling me, I didn't know this one thing I knew was in the Bible, meant what you're saying. And this was like, this, I got this like 15 years ago, what I'm about to tell you. And it's like, I sat there stunned. Psalm 115, verse 16. Psalm 115, verse 16. It says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Now, he creates Adam and Eve, and he puts his power and his glory in them. I honestly believe that if they had willed it in their minds, they could have just, that glory is so strong in them, they could have just traveled around the earth, and probably did. Because why did he make the other planets? What are those there for? You know? And the thing is I believe the earth is a center. I believe Jesus and his Father are the center of everything, and the earth was made as a model of heaven. And so he wanted man to rule. And then there's this angel talking in Psalm 8. And people go, no, David wrote that. Well, yeah, David had a prophetic utterance of what an angel said as the angel witnessed creation. And so the angel says, what is man that you are mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little bit lower than yourself, but above us angels, because you see, we're the heirs and the angels are just servants. See? And they're like the servant at the on the rich man's mansion, who's looking in the window, seeing the master bouncing the air on his knee, saying, "Boy, if I'd only been born like him, I'd own all this. Instead, I live in the servant's quarters." And you know, there's a lesson there, because we are the heirs of God. We are our home is heaven. It is not earth anymore. When you received Christ, you're not a citizen of earth anymore. You're only sojourner in a strange land. We are aliens to earth. Yeah. And so anyway, God, but what happened was God gave the earth to Adam and Eve. He says, you are to have dominion here and occupy this place. And so Adam proceeded to name all the animals. You know what? Every animal is named perfectly for what it is and what it does. And if you study it out. And he said, but you can eat of all these trees, don't eat of this one tree. And so Adam and Eve disobeyed. They sinned. And God took his spirit and his glory out of them. And he left them, instead of a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, he left them a two-part being, soul and body. See? And that's the condition people who have not received Christ are in. They're a flesh being, soul and body, and the spirit inside them is dead. And what happens is when Jesus comes in your heart, the first Adam was a living soul, and the second Adam, Jesus Christ, is a life-giving spirit. A quickening spirit. The Bible says quicken means to give life. And Jesus made us alive again unto the Father. Now he says you can come boldly now through to my throne of grace to receive help in time of need. That's God. Did you know that there's no access to him before the cross? But the only one that had access to him was Jesus. There was no one born again before the cross. All the apostles got saved when Jesus was visiting with them one day. And you can find it in John 20. It says he blew on them. You know what he's blowing? The breath of life. He was blowing just like God blew on Adam. Not only did God wake up a human living spirit, but God woke up an eternal being, a son to him in Adam. Adam was a son. And so Adam and Eve lost it. They lost the glory, and they lost the they lost creative ability. They lost so much. They lost God's presence. And so God started that plan of redemption right then. And picture it like this. A kid for Christmas gets a terrarium. Does anyone know what the word terra means? Very good. T-E-R-R-A. That if you watch science fiction, when they make a planet into a life-sustaining planet, they call it terraforming. That's what they call it. And because they're forming it to an atmosphere that's compatible with us. And so let's say a kid gets a terrarium and he gets all these little critters and creatures, you know, reptiles, amphibians, little mice and stuff. And he loves them all, but he knows to say they don't love each other very much, and they are, he's always getting in there and messing with them, handles them too much. His parents say, you may not touch them anymore. Don't ever go in there again. Let life in there be what it's going to be. You're the owner. You love them all, but do not go in there. You may not go in there. And so what happened was he sits there and he watches them kill each other every day. He watches them have great wars. They line up over here, they line up over here, they rush each other. He watches them, you know, cheat on their wives in there. No, I'm teasing. But he can't go in there. He's locked out. You know why he's locked out? Because of his goodness. Because his dad and mom said, you can't go in there. So he's going to obey them at the expense of them. You see? And so, God has his own terrarium. And he gave it to Adam. And then he said, what I just read you. He says, the earth he gave to the children of men. Did you know God said that I swore by myself. God, the things we do in courts of law, where you have to have a couple witnesses, and you swear in a Bible, and you have a defense attorney, and you have a prosecutor, and you have a judge. Did you know that's all modeled after the court of the universe? God the Father is the supreme judge. Jesus is the defense lawyer and advocate for us. And Satan is the accuser, the prosecutor. And then you have a jury. And it's like, so God said, I swear I will never break my word. My word is going to be from Genesis to Revelation. You're going to be able to count on my word. Well, you see, that's good news and that's bad news. Depends on which side of the word you're on. Because the word's going to come to pass no matter what you do. So if you go against the word will judge you. And Jesus says at the last day, I'm not going to judge anybody. The words that I have spoken, they will judge you. That's what Jesus said. Did you know he said that? On the last day, you remember he said that, right? He says on the last day, on the great judgment, I'm not going to judge you. The word I have spoken will judge you. So this word is like, did anyone ever play in the ocean and body surf? Can you stop the wave? It's like, I stop you. I hold you back, you know, and the wave just comes in and knocks you over. And that's the way the word is. There's a crest, there's this cresting wave that comes at you, and the word just comes and it just takes you out. And that's called sowing and reaping. And God says, I swear that this word will never be broken. You'll be able to count on this word, his word. And so much of our bad reaping in our life is because of his word that he can't break. No matter how much he loves you, he can't break his word. And then he says, and I swore by myself because there's none greater to swear by. So God swore by himself. And you know what happens if the supreme being swears by himself and then he lies to us and breaks his word? Then he has to destroy himself. And Jesus said, the word cannot be broken. And then over in Hebrews it says, the word is immutable. I don't know, immutable means it cannot be changed. In other words, God is the promiser of the word, but he's also the enforcer of the word. And he's got such integrity and goodness that he cannot break his word to us, and he cannot change it or alter it. Jesus said, not one jot and tittle, like means I dotted, T cross, will pass away of the word, will disappear from the earth until, you know, all things are made new, the word will stand. It also says the word is forever settled in heaven. And so the word has been settled for eternity. So the good news is for the obedient sons and daughters of God, just get on the word and ride it like a wave, get the surfboard, ride it in and to the end of time. Instead of, and you're looking at a man here, I got that revelation 30 some years ago, and I've been doing the word, and I have a blessed life. I have a wonderful wife. I have 7 children. I have 6 in-laws to those 7 children. I have 17 grandchildren. I'm going to be able to start a small country with all the grandkids. I have 17 grandkids. You know, I'm a patriarch. And you know, I say that to God's glory, because there was a time in my life that I destroyed my life, and I had a divorce, and I lost everything. I moved home to the bedroom in my parents' house that I grew up in, and everything I owned fit in that little 10 by 10 bedroom, you know. And I threw up, my car broke down, I was on foot, and you know, I lost my ex-wife, left me and took the children, and it's like I lost everything. And but all I had was God, and I hung on to God. And the Bible says he will make even your crooked places straight. And he started straightening things out, and then he started adding blessing to me. And I believe I took the woman he prepared for me. And I didn't run out and find a woman on my own. I waited till God prepared a woman. Her name is Debbie, and some of you met her. And so I'm very blessed, but it's because I'm writing the word, you know. And I believe I wrote this on Facebook one day. Since we reap everything we sow, I decided to kick over my sack of negative seed and throw it all out and only put good seed back in the sack. See? That's a revelation for some of you. It's like everything you do tomorrow is going to get a harvest on it. And when you come in here, instead of sitting in the TV room and watch some television, it's like there's nothing wrong with watching. I watch television all the time. I'm just saying, when you come in and make the word a priority, you're sowing to the next day. You're sowing to your future, and you're sowing incorruptible seed in your heart and life that can come up incorruptible. And so God is the kid that's stuck outside his own terrarium, and spirit beings are stuck out. And what does he do? He says, I can't go back in there unless I become one of them, unless I become a human being. And so this is what and he says, and also the sin passes through the father. Sin doesn't pass through the mother. I can show you scripture on that. And sin passes through the father. So God says, this is what I got to do. I got to go in there, and I got to create a miracle and be born of a virgin so that I can be perfect in there. But I need to go in there. I need to suffer alongside of them. I need to learn how they feel about things. I need to learn what their suffering does to them. And I'll go in there, and I'll suffer as a righteous man, and I'll let all the sin be put on me, and I'll meet the justice for the sin of the whole world. And this was his plan. This was his dream. He wanted to get close to us. So he could come in this form to the Old Testament people, but he couldn't live in their hearts. So his dream was to live in man's hearts. And so that's why he says, the heaven is mine, but the earth, it's kind of like real estate. If you own a rental, you own the ground, and you may own the structure. But when you sign a lease with a tenant, the tenant cannot just go in there. You know how bad, you know what landlords used to do? Because I've been a realtor for 30 years. I spent my career as a realtor, and you know what landlords used to do? They used to, when someone didn't pay the rent, they would go take their front door off. Just pull the hinges out, throw the door in their back, and then they go out and they'd shut off their gas, they shut off their electricity, and they make their life miserable. And you know what? If you did that today, the law would throw the book at you. You would be sued. You'd probably lose the house to the tenant if they had a smart lawyer. And so there are rights for tenants. Well, that whole law comes from knowing how God's kingdom works. He leased out the earth to Adam and Eve and all their descendants. And I believe he leased it out for just a period of time that's going to end. And that time, I believe, now we can discuss this later if you want, if you believe the world is 800 billion years old, I got news for you. The guy that told you that believes you came from monkeys. I believe the earth is 7,000 years long. And although it says no man knows the day or the hour, you know what? We don't know where we are in that 7,000 years. I got news for you. The calendar you look at every day is wrong. It's wrong. It doesn't. That's called the Roman calendar. That does not agree with the Jewish calendar. The Jews are like 25 years behind us. And that's because the Roman calendar looks at the sun only. The Jewish calendar looks at the rotation of the earth. It looks at the lunar cycles, and it looks at the sun also. So it's looking at three things. I'm not even sure they're right. Just the Jews are frail people. They don't even know Christ unless they get saved. So I'm just saying that God's got his own timetable. And no man knows the day or the hour that he's coming back, or is it no man knows the day or the hour that it is today?
Well, isn't it important about the how long the earth has been around?
Huh?
Why would it be important?
Well, I think God wanted us to know. Because he said that the earth, the days as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is as one day with the Lord. He said that in Peter. And if you read that whole context of what he was talking about in Peter, he's talking about the last days. So I believe God wants his children, his sons and daughters, to have an understanding of the times we're in. And what that means is that he made the earth in 6 days, and then one day he rested, the seventh day. And I believe that means, I believe he showed us right there that the lease started the first day of creation, and it goes 7,000 years for Adam and Eve. That's important to know, because my personal opinion, in looking at the Bible for, I've looked at this for 15 years, my personal opinion is that we have not hit the year 6,000 yet, but we're probably about 10 years from it.
Oh, okay.
You see what I mean? And Jesus comes back at the 6,000th year to start this 1,000-year reign on the earth. That's what the Bible teaches. And so he's coming back. And don't go tell everyone Greg said it's 10 years from now. Okay, because I didn't say that. I said we don't know when it is. If you look at the Jewish calendar, we're like 28 years away. If you look at the Roman calendar, it's past. We're 13 years past. Okay, and so but this much I know. If God said 7 days, so far some things match up. He said, I will make the sun and the moon as a sign to man. Then on the first day, he said, let there be light. On the fourth day, he made the sun and the moon. So the light he made was not the sun and the moon, which is our lights. I believe he created light on the earth from his own light that he gives off. Okay? And so, but on the fourth day, he made the sun and the moon. So, if we, you know what a map legend is, right? It's something that, you know, you can get miles on a map by looking at a legend on a map. He gave us a little map legend for time in the Bible. And he said, a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as one day. And right in the fourth day, he made the sun and he made the moon. In the 4,000th year, he made the sun, Jesus, and he made the church. See? And that's exactly 4 days of, if you're using the days as a 1,000 years key, that's exactly 4 days. So Jesus comes along in the 4,000th year, and that as soon as Jesus dies on the cross, the church is created. As soon as people get born again, the church is created.
That's what we get to say.
Huh?
So 2,000 after Jesus.
Yeah, 2,000 after Jesus. So now you have the church and Jesus showing up in the 4,000th year, just like the sun and the moon showed up in the fourth day of creation. Okay? A day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. Okay? And now what do you have happen? Jesus brings light to the world, which is what the sun does. In fact, in Malachi, when they're talking about the sun in the sky, they spell it S-O-N. The prophet spelled it S-O-N. A little key. A little nugget of truth. And so what does the moon do? It goes. The sun goes down around the other hemisphere, and it makes everything dark. And the moon comes out. Well, the moon can see the sun. The sun can see the moon. So we get the light reflected from the sun on us, on our side of the earth, all night long. What did we, Jesus, tell us to do? You're the light of the world. You shine for me while I'm gone. So the church is the reflection of the sun for the 2,000 years that he's gone. We're the moon. Why did God say he's going to make the sun and the moon? I'll make them for signs. You can read that in Genesis 1. I'm going to make them for signs. So he made the sun and the moon for signs, and they're representative of the Jesus and the church. You see, isn't that cool? That's cool. Now, I told you God owns the heaven, and it's like, you as a landlord, you can't go beat on the door and say, I want to come in right now. The California law says you have to have ample notice, it's usually 24 hours, and you have to have an appointment. So what does God do? He makes an appointment. It's the birth in Bethlehem. That's the appointment. And so now his son is in the earth, and his son is God. You know what? One time that this guy was full of demons, and his name, the head demon's name was Legion. You know what he said? He says, "What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? We know who you are. You're the Holy One of Israel." It's like the demon's going, "What are you doing on the earth? You have no right to be here. You're stuck outside." And Jesus is going, "He's an idiot. I was born here, and I'm a man." And then Jesus says, "You be silent," because Jesus hadn't revealed he was the Son of God yet to his disciples. And then they said, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" This is what they said. So they obviously are on notice that there's a time that this lease ends. You go, "Well, where do you get lease, Greg? Where?" Okay, I told you to say Mark 12. Are you at Mark 12, verse 1?
Yeah.
Someone read me verse 1.
"And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine vat, and built a tower that let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country."
All right, so what did he say? It says my New King James Version says he leased it to vine dressers. He leased it. Now, you know what a parable is. A parable is a story that didn't happen that's designed by Jesus to give us deep truth. The deep truth we get here is that the earth is the vineyard. The vine dressers are men. And he leased it to men. See, there's a legality. There's a legal document. The legal document is the Word of God for the earth. It's a legal document. And if you keep reading, and let me just go through it real quickly here. It says, he sent somebody to collect the fruit, the tax. You know what I mean? And they took him, in verse 3, and they beat him and sent him away empty-handed. That's how men treated the prophets. Okay. Again, he sent another servant, and him they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. There's another prophet mistreated by God's, by the people. And he sent another, and him they killed. A lot of prophets got killed. Okay. Then having one son, his beloved. You see, the whole story is starting to unfold here. See, he says, having one son, his beloved, he sent him to them last, saying, they will respect my son. But those vine dressers said among themselves, this is the heir, come let us kill him. And the Pharisees and the scribes killed the son, Jesus Christ. Okay? And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? See, there's a legal lease, and during this lease period, we killed the son when he came to visit. Man killed the son when he came to visit. And so God, God knew they'd kill him. He foresaw it because he's an omnipotent God with the power of being in the future. God is in the future. It says God visits the iniquity of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation. Did you know that God has the power to walk three or four generations back, look at all your ancestors? Then he has the power, without being in time, he has the power to go look at all your sons and daughters and descendants. And he can do it all at the same time. And you go, yep, he's doing the same sin as he is. He's doing the same sin as he did. He's doing the same sin as he did. And he can look at this propagating sin. Or he can look at the redemption of your fathers. Did you know you can stop the thing right now for yourself and your descendants for all time? You can stop the flow of sin through the generations. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 60 years old, you know, you can start your destiny in God tonight. You know? And so this is a really a key thing right here, that the earth is on a lease. And so there's a scripture in Ezekiel. It says, God looked for a man to stand in the gap for the land, and he could find none. And he couldn't spare the land, because he could find none. And then there was times when God tried to spare the land, like Abraham negotiates with God. He says, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah if we found 50 righteous people? And he negotiates with God. I mean, who is, you know, most Christians today think they're worms. Many Christians today would never stand up in God's face. And God, you know what? If God found a Christian that would stand up and get in his face, he would not strike him dead. He would say, he's getting it. He's getting it. I made him to be face to face with me and to negotiate with me and to reason with me and to love me and me love him. I made these people for fellowship with him. Yeah, you're getting chills. Watch this. Moses was even more bold than Abraham. I promise Abraham I'd make a great nation out of these people that you're leading out in the wilderness. And he says, but get out of the way, Moses. You're my friend. I'm going to destroy them all. He's going to destroy 2 million people. And Moses said, God, if you're going to destroy them, just destroy me too. I don't want to be with you. I don't want to be in heaven. Write me out of the book of life. He says, God, I'm asking you, and I'm telling you, God, you repent of this notion you have. Can you imagine telling God to repent of a notion? Repent doesn't mean I'm sorry. Repent means, confess means I'm sorry. Repent means I'm going to turn from this and I'm going to go 180 degrees opposite. That's what it means. And so Moses is telling God to turn around and go in the opposite direction and repent and forget his notion. And he even gave him some logic. He says, hey, you're going to bring us through the 10 plagues. You're going to part the sea. You're going to drown the Egyptians in the sea. And then out here in the wilderness, you're just going to destroy everybody. And the people of foreign lands are going to say, that God of theirs took them out there and delivered them only to destroy them. And you're going to look like a big flake. That's what he was saying. He says, and God says, okay, Moses. He says, but Moses, one more chance. if you will let me destroy them, I'll make you the father of the whole nation instead of Abraham. And you'll be the head of everything, and they'll all look back to you as the father of faith. Moses says, no, don't even put me in the book of life. Take me out of it. If you destroy them, destroy me at the same time. And you see, what does he become? He becomes the advocate. He becomes the lawyer. Moses is a type of Christ. Moses was of the former house, and Jesus is of the latter house. You see, Moses is a Jew. Jesus is a Jew. Okay? Moses is... Pharaoh is the devil. The children of Israel are symbolic of us. Jesus is Moses is symbolic of Jesus, and not only does Jesus bring us out of Egypt, which is sin, and give us the new birth, he then, after many, many strugglings, he takes us into our promised land, which are the promises of God of blessings, prosperity, freedom, wholeness, healing. That is, and you know who has to, you know, you have to destroy the ungodly nations as you go? Those are the demons, the Hittites, the Amorites, all those people that they had to destroy, the children of Israel. Those are the devils, like Goliath. You know, you got to destroy them. And so, you know, we're running out of time, but I want to just get to, why did God need people? You know why? Because God has it set up that he has to co-labor and co-partner with man. Okay? And so he needs a legal person in the earth. It only works if God has a legal person in the earth that is cooperating with him. See, God can't come here and teach this to you. I have to come do it for him. Okay? And he's pleased with that. He loves this going on here. And this is his... You can see it in the New Testament immediately after Jesus went back to heaven. He had to go get an angel to go tell Peter to go talk to a guy named Cornelius. And it's like, wow, God is limited. The God of the universe is limited by his own goodness, remember? By his own integrity. By his own inability to break his own laws. God is limited. So there's things God can't do. And that's usually when people want to fight me, you know. Like, what are you saying about my God? You're saying he can't do something? Well, he's his own policeman. And he has himself jerked up short, you know, and this, where this earth is concerned. But he's totally capable of guiding his little old grandma down on the south side to be on her knees all night tonight for you. And you see, that's how he does it. See, he works his body together, all supplying each for each other. But even if you look at Moses, and I won't turn there, but Moses gets in front of the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming up fast behind. You all saw the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. And yeah, but if you go really read the real account, it says Moses goes, "Stand and see the salvation of the Lord, all of you. This enemy you'll see no more forever." And then he turns to God. "Lord, what am I going to do? I just bragged, but now I have no way to back myself up." And God's going, "Why are you crying unto me? You stretch out the rod and you part the sea." You know? So you go, "Okay, Lord, who really parted the Red Sea? Moses or you?" Because his word is final. And he says, "You stretch out your rod." And you... Well, you have to go backwards to when Moses was first given the rod. He says, "You see that shepherd's rod in your hand? This is on Mount Sinai." He says, "I'm going to make that a rod of power." That's what he said. And he says, "And you're going to deliver them. That rod is going to be my rod unto you of power." Well, he hadn't revoked that. There's a little secret in the Bible where Moses, at the end of his career, God got mad at him. Because God says, "See, they needed water in the desert." God says, "Go strike the rod, yeah, on that rock." And water flowed out. So then they dried up again, so they needed more water. God says, okay, Moses, do not strike the rock this time with your rod. He says, speak to the rock. Well, Moses goes, hey, everybody, look what I can do. I got this rod of power. I know God said speak to it, but it's worked for me this way before. See, God is about our growth and our change, okay? Yeah, we'll be done in a few minutes. If they want the warming center, it's over.
It's over. It's done.
White, I know. Dark. Yeah, that's all right. We might be able to help them a little. So anyway, God's angry because Moses didn't speak to the rock. Now, watch this. Jesus says to his disciples, they go, Master, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. And Jesus says to them, have faith in God. And this is how you have it. If you say to the mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, shall not doubt in your heart, but believe whatever you say will come to pass. You will have whatsoever you say. And so Jesus is saying, speaking to the rock is the way God is, and you're made in His image. We are word people. We are speaking people. Okay, we don't strike rocks anymore. The rod of power was only a symbol of what later would be in our mouth. This is our rod of power. It's in our mouth. And that's even how we receive Christ, is by confessing and declaring Him Lord. And then when you walk in faith, you speak to your circumstances. You know what? Don't say anything negative ever again.
Yeah.
I quit talking negative about 30 years ago. I only will speak positive because you're creating your universe. Okay, then you have, let's see, we're almost done, but there's something you really need to see. John 10, Mark, Luke, John.
John 10.
Now,
I will be as my own prophet, and they'll all be after my utterance, and they will hear my plans, and they will know my dreams. Thus there will be no escape for me until my words become accomplished. Thee. Wrote that down
and
wrong.
Amen. Look at this. Jesus, you know, when Jesus was talking, people used to misunderstand Him. Like this guy named Nicodemus said, Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can I go back in my mother's womb? Well, I've heard people do that. I saw it on Facebook the other day. Somebody made that kind of a goof. And it's like, because you see, the natural finite mind is the enemy of God and His thinking. So Jesus is talking about spiritual things, okay? So now, let's think spiritually here. Let's don't think physically as we read this. Jesus is giving a great key, and as He's saying this, even His disciples do not know what He's talking about. You and I know, because of all the scriptures we've been looking at tonight, we know now what He's saying. Look, most assuredly I say, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. I'm going to see if you guys can get this one, and believe me, the answer's not easy. What is the door? What is the door of the sheepfold? No, look at verse 1. Before you say Himself, most assuredly I say to you, he who has not entered the sheepfold by the door, it's John 10, verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Okay. Okay, look, hold your finger there and go to John 3. Hold your finger there and go to John 3, okay? And I'm going to give you a clue. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I was raised in a church that actually tore this page out of the Bible.
What?
Yeah. They didn't teach the new birth at all. And it's like, if you know, they say, oh, he's a born again. You know, they say that about Christians. And it's like, you know what? There is no other way to God except being born again. Jesus says in verse 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, to know what he means in John 10, I have to tell you what he means here. Okay? Most people say, well, that's baptism. Being born of water is baptism. Not. Yeah, watch this. When they would attend a birth in the ancient days, the first thing that comes gushing out is water. We're born of water. We're floating in water for 9 months. And the ancient people knew that. So when you're born of water and the Spirit, that means you're born of physical birth in the womb, from the womb, and you're born a spiritual birth by the Holy Spirit. See? He says, unless one's born of water and the Spirit, he's just naming the two births. You see what I mean? And then he says, in 6, he ratifies what he said. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's the water. And then that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. You see? Now you know how Jesus is thinking. Now go back to John 1. He says, I say to you, he does not enter the sheepfold by the door. The door here in verse 1 is his mother's womb. The water. Okay? And he says, whoever does not... And what is the sheepfold? Remember the child's terrarium? What's the sheepfold?
The world.
Yes, the sheepfold is the earth. So he says, he who does not enter the earth through a womb is illegal. And if they climb up some other way, they are a thief and a robber. Guess who climbed up another way?
Satan.
Satan and all the fallen angels and all the demons are here illegally. Do they care if they're here illegally? Because they're lawbreakers. They're rogue. They're out of God's will. They were cast out of heaven. Okay, now look at this. Look at this. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. In verse 2, he's still talking about the first birth and him entering through his mother's womb, and that is the door. Were any of you here not born of a womb? Okay, you know what that means? You're all on earth legally according to Jesus. That, you know what? Did you know that your legal authority is not from your new birth? Your legal authority is being born legally on earth. The new birth gives you ability. You ever see a cop go out into a... there's a crosswalk, right? Some children want to cross, right? So the cop has a badge on. So he says, I'll stop this semi-truck that's coming. And he goes out there and he says, stop. And they just mow him down. Now, did he have the authority to stop that semi? Huh?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, but he lacked the ability, right? Unless he's that movie, Hancock, you know, or somebody. He had the authority, legal authority, but he lacked the ability. That's some of us. We're filled with the Spirit of God. Now we have the ability to back up our authority. So when you put authority and ability together in the same package, you have nitroglycerin. I mean, you have power.
No, I just want to expound on something just a little bit. Because you're talking about revelations. It's interesting. I guess the Lord would tell me that I need to talk to you and show you some things too. But just for everybody, what he's talking about, the born again, it's very deep and it's very true. But the Lord, I fought with this many times too, and the Lord showed me something. See, when you're born the first time into this world through a natural woman, you also have an umbilical cord with you, and it gets cut. In your second birth, that is, you have an umbilical cord from God in this dark world, and it's a string of light that goes from God, but it works in the opposite way. It starts out as this thin piece of string, but the more you fill and grow in God, it becomes a beacon of light, like they shine in the earth, you know, and it says that's how you're able to walk in the dark and not be able to stumble, because when you're born a second time, it's just a little filament. I mean, it's like sewing string when you're born, when you first become to know Jesus, and you're born again into this world, it's also symbolic that you have an umbilical cord to the Father, and the more you feed it, it grows in an opposite way, and it becomes a light, a beacon, shining on God in this dark world. So that you won't stumble.
Very good.
You're a preacher in the making.
I know.
And you know what?
I've been running for it for a long
time. Yeah, but listen, I'm going to speak something out to you. Dwight Moody, you know who your name is after. Great, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. And his name is Moody. And I'm just telling you, this is your year to get on God's solid ground. Yeah, this is it. I know he's been telling you that, and so I'm telling you that too. So I kept you a little longer, but I wanted you to see this John 10. If I didn't cap this off for you, then you'd go out of here going, okay, we heard a lot, but this all shows it together. Now, I just want you to see one more thing, because Jesus shifts now from the flesh to the spirit. Okay, now watch. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He's going to lead us all out of the earth to heaven. See, the shepherd is going to lead us all out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and they follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And then he goes, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things he spoke to them. Hey, they weren't even born again yet. He hadn't gone to the cross yet here. You and I can understand this. And it's a great blessing. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Okay, has he lost his mind? He said, I entered by the door. Now he's saying, I am the door. See, the first door and first one is his mother's womb. The second door is he's become the door to heaven. That's God's will. If you think someone's too crazy about Jesus, you cannot be too crazy about Jesus. I've had guys come up to me after this meeting, and they go, Greg, I've received Christ. I just don't want to look like a Jesus freak. It's kind of foolish, Greg. It's like, wait a minute. He's the whole door to everything. And, you know, you come in here drunk, stand up and dance on the table, you know. Kiss six people, not caring if they're men or women, you know. Hug everybody, slobber, you know. Wet yourself, maybe done more than that, you know. Haven't bathed in 6 months, you know. And it's like you've already been the fool. Now let's be the fool for God. There's no adverse side effects. Let's go all out. And if I want to turn these lights out, I go over and I flip the switch on the wall, okay? And I turn them out. And you know what? Now it's dark. We all decide it's dark. We can't see each other. We want light, okay? So, when you can't make darkness leave. Darkness won't leave. Darkness, get out of here. There's only one thing that chases darkness out, and it's the light from the wall switch. And what I'm trying to tell you is, if you don't go absolutely nuts and crazy about Jesus, then you will let something else fill it up, and the darkness will be all around your mind. And so if you're not a fool for Jesus, you'll be a fool. And you'll be a fool for something else, and it will have bad side effects, and it will not help you fulfill your destiny. And so Jesus says, I am the door. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out, and he will find pasture. The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. And I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And I'm going to close the Bible right there. And so the thing is Jesus is talking about two births. He's talking about, and anyone sneaking into this earth is illegal. And let me tell you something now. When you know Christ and you receive Him and you let His Spirit fill you, His Holy Spirit. Now watch this. You already got the legal authority when you were born of a woman over a demon. But you were like the officer that was standing in the crosswalk. You didn't have, the demon is more powerful than you as just a normal man. But now when you receive Christ, you can say, what'd you say, Satan? Shut up. Amen. Get out of here. You know, I believe that a demon
I believe personally that a demon will not come within 200 feet of me. Okay? And the second day I ever came in this place, this man came up to me, and instantly he fell in a seizure and started convulsing on the floor. And a few months later, I felt like God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, and Jesus spoke to me and said, that's what I did to people. And you were coming in here full of the Spirit, and that triggered that. And now, we see people have seizures all the time in here. But you can often understand what the root of something is by what the fruit of it was, what the fruit became. That man quit drinking. When that seizure got triggered in him, he quit drinking. It was God's will to trigger the seizure by the Spirit of God, okay? And so, yeah, praise God. Let's just pray together. Just repeat this after me, okay? Lord, we are sorry. We confess our sin unto you. Come into us. Fill us tonight. We invite you. We believe you died on the cross. And you rose again. And you give us the right to come to the throne. We're legally here. You were legally here. Now you and us together have all power and authority in Jesus' name. And we're too good for sin and addiction. We cast it off by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.